Another day, another dollar as I holler to the world. I love the way I'm living, love the Gucci, love the girls. Love the parties and the clubs, love the models and hot tubs. Love the German engineering set on deep dish dubs. Another tour around the world, entertaining the fans. I love walking through the airport, taking pictures, shaking hands. Every day for me's an oyster, crack it open, find a pearl. I love the way I'm living, what I holler to the world.
All right, so we are back here on Marking Out with MVP and Dwayne Swayze and AEW Catering with Ref Aubrey, the world-renowned.
Check back, the mail, brother.
Back again.
For a segment, but not my own full
we
episode.
We need the full episode.
Yeah, yeah.
What the
but you're on.
Yeah, I bet that was DJ.
Oh, you're blaming him now, so I got to talk to you.
He organizes everything.
Oh, I see, that's what I mean. You'd be like, no, talk to him.
Yeah, talk to Swayze.
Run away. I'm so sorry. I haven't been in your position for a while.
No, but we do owe you.
Yes.
And no, we owe you an entire episode.
Oh, wonderful.
Featuring Riff on.
I appreciate that. All right, what are we doing today?
We're going to hot take.
Hot takes.
What your opinion on this question that Dwayne Swayze wants to ask?
Opinion, so I can't be right or wrong.
No, there's no right or wrong.
Nope. Perfect. I have no idea what they're asking.
All right, so let's go. Let's do it. For a true top guy or gal,
okay,
what matters more, mic work or match quality? You can only choose one.
Ooh, I think mic work, because I think even if you are not a professional wrestling fan, everyone connects with character.
It's kind of what he said. I said match quality.
Well, I mean, that's a bonus if you have both. But, like, think about all the people that are at the top. What do you remember? Their promos.
Mic work. People can overlook mediocre matches, but if you can make them feel, bring that emotion out with your speech, that is what's going to make you connect to these folks. That's what's going to make them want to buy tickets. That's what makes them want to come see you, is you being able to talk them into the build. The match itself can be cool. In-ring work is always important, but mic work is more important.
Do that quote, talk them into the building. You hear what the man says?
Yeah,
talk them into the building.
Otherwise, you're just wrestling for the sake of wrestling.
I think the mic serves the wrestling, so I will pick the guy who's good at wrestling.
Okay. All right. Finally, somebody agreed with me.
Okay.
Mic serves the wrestling.
I mean, acting is an important part of this, right? It's great. It's super important. But this is a wrestling show. There's so much good drama out there. There's so much good theater you can watch. The unique aspect that this brings, that this business brings, is the pro wrestling.
So what about guys, and here's my take. I say, for example, what about somebody like Ultimate Warrior?
Yes.
Who sucked ass as a wrestler.
Yes.
It was a phenomenal promo. Like, it didn't make sense, but the intensity of it, it just drew you. He drew a lot of money. People wanted to see him. And he did these shitty clotheslines, yes, and hello, they didn't really care about that. He just wanted to see the muscles and the intensity.
He did, but the muscles and the intensity was part of it. The clothesline was shitty, and that was part of the fun. If he cut the promos he did, but didn't look like he did, and couldn't do the shitty clothesline with the intensity that he did, no one would have cared.
Okay.
I mean, when you at the top, you have to be able to talk. You represent, you know what I'm saying, whatever you stand for. So whether you represent the people or you represent your cause. So I think that your mic skills got to be on point to have a connection with your following. You know, we can wrestle. We can get out there and do our thing. But if you can't have a genuine connection with the people, then and you lost in the sauce. You know?
Yeah, I'm a piggyback off that. I 100% agree. I feel like talking, get the people to understand you and get to know you. You could have a million matches and they could all be 5-star, but if nobody know you, they're not going to care. You feel what I'm saying? So it don't really make much of a difference. Now, if you could talk all day, which the boys can talk all day, then you get to the top of the top, and I think that's what matters the most. You know what I'm saying?
Obviously, it's going to be, on the grand scale, it's going to be mic work. But for me, from my personal opinion of my flavor of ice cream wrestling, it's work. It's ring work. If you're awesome on the mic, but you can't fucking wrestle at all, I'm not watching you. I'm changing the channel. Will you wrestle anyways?
None of it. I don't care about that shit.
None of it matters.
None of it matters, darling. As I said, it's 90% music
really
and entrance.
Nothing really matters.
Nothing. It's 90% music and entrance.
90% music and entrance.
10% Riz. Right?
I mean, okay.
Fuck all of it. I don't believe in it. I never believed in skill. or anything at all?
Oh, man. I guess it depends on the kind of wrestler you are, but in my opinion, it's matchwork.
Think.
Well, why, I mean,
why matchwork over my work? Which position?
I mean, like I said, it depends on the wrestler. So, like, I have not been afforded a lot of mic time in my career, and I think that I have made my way to where I am because of my matchwork. So, for me personally, it's matchwork. But for someone like you, or for someone like MJF, or, you know, others that have a lot of speaking ability and get that opportunity a lot, you're able to shine more in it. I mean, you're great at it, but you're also a great wrestler. So, I mean, I'm not going to glaze you too much.
I appreciate that.
In my opinion, I say match quality. And I know a lot of people watching this are probably going to be like, yeah, that's because she can't cut promos. And I'm working on it. But I do think the main premise of what we do is wrestling. And you don't always have to be able to talk the talk, but you do have to be able to walk the walk in the ring, in my opinion.
Okay.
But I am working very hard on my promos, so shut up.
Why do I have to? Do I have to pick one?
Pick one.
I don't want to pick one of them.
Pick one or the other. One side or the other.
No.
When I was on your show, I wasn't.
Oh God. That's a very hard question.
That's why. That's the point. It's a hot take.
Okay. What matters most? Talking or wrestling?
Correct. You got to pick one for a true top guy. What's more important? Match quality.
I feel everyone will say mic work, but I'm going to say wrestling.
Thank you. Cool. Fine.
I just think if you're so shit at wrestling and you're an amazing talker, like if you're so shit, like the marquee says wrestling, like you have to be able to wrestle. Whereas I think if you're so, by being so good at wrestling, you can transcend not being able to talk. And your gimmick could just be like a person who don't talk, like Goldberg, one of my veterans.
Between Brian Danielson.
This episode is sponsored by Garden. Groceries are getting more expensive and somehow less fresh. If you're tired of throwing away wilted greens and overpaying for produce that doesn't last, it's time to grow your own. Meet Garden. It's a sleek, soil-free indoor growing system that does the hard work for you. Using automated light and water, Garden grows fresh, clean food in your living room or kitchen all year long. No dirt, no daily chores, no green thumb required. Stop planning your life around grocery runs. Just harvest what you need when you need it. Visit mygarden.com. That's mygardyn.com. Garden. Harvest happiness.
And Cody Rhodes.
Uh-huh.
Who is the more believable babyface?
Emphasis on the word believable. There's no right or wrong answer. It's just opinions.
So I'm going to say that Bryan Danielson is the more believable babyface because Bryan Danielson became a babyface despite the forces around him. They didn't want him to get so popular, and he did. And to be that big of a babyface is something truly special.
That means people believe in you.
People believed in him so much that they went against the program and made him a babyface.
I'll say this.
You know both of them.
I know both of them very well. And I'll say Cody Rhodes, because I have a feeling this can get back to Cody. And Brian doesn't watch anything on the internet or knows nothing, nor cares. So Cody it is. Your number one fan, Cody.
Great answer.
Thank you. Thank you. Brian literally has a flip phone, so he ain't got
that's
this.
True. He actually has a flip phone. Yeah. Danielson.
What?
Why? Cody Rhodes looks like he is the QB1. That prototypical Texas jock that in every movie you hate. He's got every gift. He's good looking. He's got the baddest girl. You know what I mean? Like, he puts up all the numbers. He wins.
He's not a
like,
sympathetic.
He's not a sympathetic
he's
dude.
Not relatable to you that.
Even if he had a tough life, you wouldn't know that, right? Seeing him, right? You would just think, silver spoon, this. And then not to mention you add in, your father was a Hall of Fame quarterback too. I don't feel bad for you. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel bad for you. Watch out, bro. You know what I'm saying? You're supposed to convince me
you're the good guy. In what world? I've hated dudes like you my whole life. You know what I'm saying? But you get a guy like Danielson, a guy undersized, or wasn't supposed to be this guy, wasn't supposed to be here. And now he's fighting guys two times his size, three times his size, going against the system, right? We know what that struggle is like. That's something that I can relate to, right? So if you're asking me who's the more believable guy to cheer on, it's Danielson.
I mean, I like them both. Both believable. I believe them as equally in equal amounts. I'm like, I see them. I like them. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
You believe them.
I believe in them.
All of them.
I believe them to be good men.
This is mad bias because Cody, my coach. Hey, Cody's my coach. He taught me how to wrestle. That's my dog. I was holding down a nightmare all the way. Cody rose to the death of it.
Yeah, what man. You got, hey, man. Cody, I'm only here because Cody.
Hey, this is the loyalty parade, baby. You know?
Hey, man, big CR. Look here, man. You can't get respect.
You got to hold it down, son.
Hey, big CR. You know what I'm saying? Whoa.
That's a fact, son.
But there's one where y'all disagree. Said Brian Dash.
I'm sure he did. Shout out to the dragon. You know, he cool too.
Yeah, man. It's all right. Yeah. He a dog, though.
He a dog. He wanted to know. You know what I mean?
But, so we going with Cody just because of loyalty?
No, well, I didn't know it was because of loyalty.
But loyalty was everything. That was more than enough reasons.
Yeah, man. But Cody is like, he's like, babyface supreme. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just think that his genuine connection, they both have the connection to fans.
Yes.
I remember, the emphasis was on the word more believable babyface.
Yeah.
I don't even know, to be honest with you. I think both of them have their most believable parts. I mean, Daniel Bryan being underappreciated.
No, you can't both sides it. One has to be more than the other. Who is the most believable? So, all right, say, okay, I'm gonna say, but the most,
I'm gonna still say Cody.
Okay, I'm just making sure that I got it right.
I'm gonna still say Cody.
Yeah,
okay,
all right, man. That man wrestled with a torn pec. You know what I'm saying?
He left the dance. Yeah, he left the dance and came back. You know what I'm saying? That's craziness right there.
I'm gonna have to go with Bryan Danielson only because he told me that he saw himself in me one time, and it meant a lot to me.
Ooh, wow. Oh, wow. That's praise from season. That's praise from season.
So, but it wasn't all the time. It was like just one moment. We were having a heart-to-heart about stuff, but he said he related to my situation. So,
that relatability.
Yes, it felt personal. It felt very nice.
Okay.
Bryan Danielson, 100%.
Why?
Because his father worked in like a mill in the woods. Yeah, sure, Cody Rhodes' dad was a plumber, but...
Son of a plumber, baby.
Son of a plumber, whatever, right? But I think also, like, this is a very biased question because you're asking the girl who has literally driven through Aberdeen, Washington. I have stayed at the lodge at Quinault Lake that Bryan Danielson's dad built. Like, you can't get more Pacific Northwestern than Bryan. I think also if you just look at people who are representational of people today, I think people can look at Bryan and go, I am more likely to look like that guy physically than I could look like Cody.
Bryan Danielson.
More believable.
Yeah, I mean, this might be, this is a hot take because, you know, I come from a punk and hardcore background. Cody is the epitome of everything that I am against. So he is Homelander. He is he's the suit and tie. Like, I don't want nothing to do with that. You know, he's the Hulk Hogan, eat your vitamins and say your bedtime stories. I want, like, Bryan Danielson. He's got some weird quirks. He's vegan or was vegan. I don't know. He's just got some weird shit about him, you know. Right. And like, I feel like I can resonate with him more. And like, there's no one that could fight from underneath better than Bryan can.
So this is more relatable. His relatability in terms of being somebody that you want to identify with.
Yeah, I mean, I just love an underdog, and I feel like he plays the underdog great. Because everyone, I mean, since he started, everyone discounted him, and he became...
He's always legitimately been the underdog.
And became the best wrestler on the planet.
Between Darby Allin and Orange Cassidy, who's the better... underdog babyface?
Marinate on that one. What you got?
Darby. Because everything looks like it comes so casually to Orange, that could be perceived as it's either not difficult or he's not phased. And if you want, and if I'm cheering on someone, I want it to look like they're going through shit. You got a guy in Darby who will kill himself in that ring. And someone who was willing
to
say, I will die to win. But more importantly, I will die so you can see me win. Because you believe in me, I will die for that.
Oh, okay.
You see what I'm saying? I am willing to climb Mount Everest for you to believe in me. To believe in the fact that you can do anything. Right? Because if I conquer my fears, I face my challenges, you can too. And you gotta think he's one of those guys that was always like an alternative kid. Right? So he's always been an outcast, right? He's always been a guy that's like, this guy's here. He's always been weird, da da da. But there's more people that relate to that than will relate to a Brian Cage or someone who's been jacked, da da da. That's not the average person watching this, right?
Right on.
So they're going to gravitate towards him more. And the fact that he will put himself in harm's way, not just to win, but win for you, makes him that.
I got to give it to my boy Darby as someone that has brutally punished that man past the survivability limit. I think that I got to give it to Darb. He's a hell of a fighter. He's the scrappiest person I know and one of the toughest human beings. So he definitely has that underdog right in him.
Both are valid, but the first one that came to my mind was Darby. And I think because only in a Darby match can you say, that guy has literally died. How is he going to win? So I think he works so far in one direction that when he has more to come back from than Orange Cassidy does. I think just purely for his style alone. Like, both of them do it well, but I think because of the way that Darby wrestles, putting himself in dangerous positions, taking stupid bumps, where you're literally like, how is this guy not dead yet? How has he only had one major injury his entire career? I think from that reason, he is a bigger underdog than he is.
Darby, I'm not gonna smile, but I mean, the beating that Darby takes is just relentless and unbelievable. So, yeah, Darby for sure. He is the epitome of getting yourself over, just he has, just by killing himself week after week after week.
So. After week after week after yeah. week.
That's very difficult because they're both great at that. I'm going to give Darby Allin the edge just because of how much there is no manufacturing the stunts that he does, the falls that he takes. I mean, I think it's real. I think he just does it so well that you know what I mean? You forget that it's not, and he's not actually dead. He never misses a moment, never misses a chance to make you actually think, oh, this guy's done for real. Like, not in terms of pro wrestling, which is goes even beyond the great selling, which is something that they're both masters at.
Darby Allin.
Going with Darby?
Darby Allin.
Yeah.
Darby Allin is just like, that man goes through he puts himself through insurmountable odds and somehow comes out on top. Like, that man, like, whether he win or lose, that's the whole thing. Like, he loses and still wins at the same time. It's just, that's... Yeah, he.
I wanna go on that side of the street with you, but I'm gonna hit Orange Cassidy on this one.
There we go.
Orange Cassidy is just, his whole shtick is not supposed to work. He not supposed to care. You know what I'm saying? And then when you realize, like, after you punish him forever, then you realize he got a bag of tricks that's dumb deep. Yeah, and he could take punishment too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He could take punishment and he make it look good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He still get up, he fix his hair, he put his hands in his pockets, and it's time to fucking go.
That is business.
You know what I'm saying? So,
but I seen a man fall from a ladder through shards of glass.
And that's unfortunate.
It's still
unfortunate.
Continue to keep going.
There's a special place in heaven for people like that.
Fighting from underneath.
Fighting from
underneath. For you, Orange Cassidy. And for you,
Darby Allin.
That's another impossible question. Who's coming up with these questions? Y'all look. That's it. Hey, brother. That's it.
Brody King almost killed that man.
Brody King. Hey, okay. No, just for continuity's sake, what was Shane's answer?
Darby. And you know what? I'm like, if you could be 49.5, like, I can't even. It's
a tough.
That's a tough.
But that's why it's a hot take. Like, I think he's forced to go out there and pick.
Yeah, kind of punishment Darby put himself through, and then still be getting up. And y'all might have.
I'll switch. Yeah, I'll give it to Donnie. That's a hard one.
I'll give it to Donnie.
But my heart wants to say Darby because he kind of like gets right, like Orange is a little comedy-ish, so I'd be like, okay, maybe Darby because he's so funny. But then like that's what makes Orange so great is that you think he's comedy, then he's such a wonderful, like he could pull out like believable baby face. And I think you're just saying this because they're all littler guys.
No, not at all. Like I was just saying in the case of the two personas,
yeah,
the guy who gets his ass kicked gets beat up and then gets up, fixes his hair, and puts his hands back in his pockets. It's harder for me to...
Well, right. You hate entertainment and fun stuff. Yes. Go on.
Okay, but watch a guy get thrown 30 feet off the roof, crashing through barbed wire and glass. Like, oh, he's dead. I'm really thinking that you're down. So in terms of sympathy for this guy to come back from that...
Yeah. He takes crazier stuff. But Orange is so lovable.
He's so lovable.
Yeah, true. Swoon.
Swoon. So what's your pick?
Oh, I thought I dodged it.
Yeah.
All right, despite you, I'll say Orange Cassidy.
Okay, sure. I'll take this fight.
All right. Between Jon Moxley and Bryan Danielson, who is the better real fight storyteller?
Moxley. I ain't never seen a dude like he loved getting in bar fights. He do that exact same thing in the ring. Like, without a question. He don't care about how pretty it is. He don't care about nothing. He wear the same thing that he wore to the arena in the ring. And he get busy. And then he ride home in that same outfit. He dead serious about it. I ain't never seen nothing like that in my life.
Mark, my dream is, like, I want to get in a bar fight, get thrown out the window, dust myself off, get back in. I think that'd be, he'd be right there with me.
Well, Bryan Danielson, like, he trained to be this real fight dude while Jon Moxley, like, he woke up and was that real fight dude. Like,
that's an interesting
perspective. You get what I'm saying? Okay, like, Moxley looked like he chewed glass, and that's just how it got back.
I feel like he was down on his luck and said, hey, this is all I got.
This is what I'm doing for my life. This is it. Hey, I can't go nowhere else. This is it. That's what Moxley like, and that's what I think Moxley looked like, when you watch Moxley, like Daniel Bryan look like he's disciplined. He go out there, he's enjoying it.
He wants to get in a fight.
Moxley like,
say, hey,
like hit me harder. I got problems today.
Put my lights off.
I like this out. Baby, get built, baby. You know what I'm saying? This ain't me. I gotta figure this out.
That's real, bro.
That's real.
Yes.
I would say that historically, it's Bryan Danielson because he was put in situations where the matches that he had were a lot closer to a real fight. Bryan Danielson did a lot more independent wrestling, has a lot more storied career on the independence than Moxley.
You go back to American Dragon.
Right.
Yes.
You go back to him.
Wage days.
Man.
Some of the stuff with him and Homicide.
Like. Matches that were not like, again, everything on TV now is planned. It's called, it's produced. And he did some fights that were just raw out there, guys work fighting.
Yeah.
So that's why my answer is.
Right, Bryan is the better technician, but Moxie's very believable out there. Oh, you got me. I don't. I guess I'll say Bryan said Bryan before, so just because I think he's a baby face.
You think he'll not in a wrestling match,
yeah,
but in a fight, he's a better fight storyteller than Moxley. Because in a wrestling match, in pure wrestling, know that Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson is the all-time elite.
I mean, just by looking at him, and also character-wise, I mean, if they were getting in a real fight, I guess I would believe that Moxley would win. It's also because Bryan's vegan, so I don't know.
Bryan.
Our cameraman, right? He's one of those.
Jon Moxley. Purely from the experience of that guy knows how to use blood as a story. Like, so I think all of us, when we see blood coming out of our body, we know it hurts, right? So from that instance, if we go back to believability, not everyone knows what it feels like to be punched in the face, but they know what it feels like to get hurt and have that hurt to a point where it's bleeding. So I think from that perspective, he's a better fighter because he's always coming back, whether he's a babyface or a heel. He's causing himself to bleed, he's causing someone else to bleed, but I think because we see matches more with blood in them, more when it's his, I think for that reason.
I think Moxley is just so, we just know him so much. Like, you say Jon Moxley, I just think of like the scars on his back and like wanting to quit WWE to just like be a deathmatch wrestler, like against Jun Kasai. Like, and so, and obviously it's propelled him so
He's done well with it.
Yeah, so literally the top of the industry. So I kind of, maybe that sticks out a little more to me.
Both of them have, like John has the scrappy, like, street fighter slash, like, has done, like, jiu-jitsu for, like, a couple months and, like, learned a couple things. And, like, that's what he relies on, which, like, you know, that shit's dangerous as hell sometimes. Like, all you need is a couple things. And he can throw them with the best of them. Brian has obviously a lot of grappling talent. If it's stand up, I think John's got it. If it's on the ground, I think Brian's got it.
Okay, but
we're talking. I have about, to pick one.
But
believability.
Professional wrestling, real fighting, no, in a wrestling match,
okay,
versus a fight. Who do you pick? And the storytelling of this wrestling match versus a fight. Who's a better fight storyteller?
I'm sorry, Brian. I'm taking John in the fight. He's a little...
Okay.
He's a little unhinged, you know?
Unhinged.
So he's going to bite you. He's going
to... So he's a better real fight storyteller.
Listen.
Take you through that
I feel like anyone that's ever been in a real fight... They know there's no rules in fighting. Like when someone goes, "Oh, that was a cheap shot" or whatever, it's like
there's no such thing.
Only losers play by the rules. You know what I mean? And John ain't playing by the rules.
And now this was a common thing people have said in the course of Brian. Yeah, but he's honorable. He won't kick you when you're down. He won't gouge your eye. You know that's what they were saying about. You know, so I see a point there, and that's solid. Samoa Joe has one of my favorite quotes. He says, "I've never been in a street fight, but I've been in a few assaults."
Yeah. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
John Moxley, and it's not close. Bryan Danielson is an amazing professional wrestler, arguably the greatest of all time, but he's exactly that. When I see him, I know this is going to be a professional wrestling contest, right? This is going to be an athletic venture, right? If you think real fight, if you were to meet John Moxley on the street and had a problem, would you rather fight him or Danielson?
Oh, knuckle up, Danielson.
I'm fighting, and this is no. I love Dragon, but I'm smoking him. I'm punching him in his shit all day, every day. Versus the idea of fighting someone like Moxley, who looks like he could be in Mad Max and have no problem.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like he would be chilling. Like he's at home, right? If you hit the deck against Danielson, he might let you get up. You hit the deck against Moxley, he ends you right there. Yeah. Right? So real fight, real
you know
fight.
What, that seems to be a running theme with Danielson. People say, you know, he's a man of honor. He's going to kick you when you're down.
He's an honorable dude.
Whereas the other dude, not so much.
Yeah, you know? I mean, you take the chance. I mean, and...
Children of the Wasteland.
If there's a bottle around, you might get hit with that mug. You know what I mean? Like, it's a fight is a fight. There ain't no rules to that. And that fits Moxley.
Between Jamie Hayter and Chris Statlander, who feels like the more believable monster athlete?
Mm. You know what? I'm going to go Statlander because I've actually had a match with Statlander. I've been in the ring with her, and that girl's strong. That girl is real strong. So I'm going to say her.
Yeah, I like her physical presence as the ring.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, too, and she's much like myself, she's surprisingly athletic as well for being a beast at the top of eight. So
I think they're both monsters, and I believe both of them to be monsters. I've been clobbered in the face by both of them.
Who clobbered you harder?
Oh, it's the same. The same.
So they're equally matched in strength and power and pain infliction?
That's a very good even match right there. I would love to see a tit for tat. I would love to see them jockey for position. I'd love to see them get in there and jockey for position.
I will say Jamie, actually. I feel like monster... Well,
self-deprecating.
Yes, but also monster strength and just like pure bruteness. That's her whole thing. And I do a little bit of everything. So I don't really fully envelop the monster ideal. I like to be, but I also love to do very silly things and do flips and land on my head and do my best at everything. So I feel like she embodies the monster aesthetic better than I do because I try to do everything and I'm selfish.
Between MJF and Christian Cage.
Christian Cage.
Okay.
And I know MJF will see this.
Are you going against your people?
Who's more Jewish? No.
I'll finish it. Between MJF and Christian Cage, who is the better heel talker for getting heat?
I don't know. Christian's so good.
He's amazing.
He's such a piece of... I'll say that I don't think Christian gets cheered when he's trying to be... And I think Max gets cheered a little bit as he's trying to get heat. And Christian's never a turn the channel type of guy. Like, you know?
Not to turn the channel heat.
Yeah. So Max is obviously great. He's one of our top heels. But just talking, I'm going to give it to the veteran. Because... Max, MJF is a 2-year veteran, I think he used to call him. That was back in the day. Just the experience from Christian. He just knows how to just orchestrate and play him. He's the best.
Well, I mean, MJF just said I look like a Nazi, so I got to give it to him probably. So, I mean, like, damn. The man can get the crowd chanting his catchphrase and then booing him out of the building in 2 seconds. So, That is a talent all on its own. Not to take anything away from Christian.
It's
fantastic. The sit down and shut your mouths while I'm conducting my business is great. I feel like also we are just seeing the tip of the iceberg with MJF and the time that he has left in this business. And I will hate to see the things that he is saying in 20 years.
I love the Father of the Year stuff, but I will say MJF helped me out a lot very early on. He was there my very first day of training. He put my name in here to work for AEW. So I have to give credit to
Loyalty goes
Long Island, baby. Sorry.
You don't have to apologize for your answers. That's not what we're doing here.
I'm going to say Christian. And I say Christian because it's coming from a storytelling perspective and someone like myself who appreciates the intellectual manipulation and the emotional manipulation of people, to be someone that represents a father figure and then abuse that power over and over and over again and manipulate those, to me, like, that's a more hateable guy. Like, he's not joking. He's not doing stuff that's going to make you cheer. It's not the funny quips, right? MJF is extremely talented. 2-time world champion. He's the man, right? There's no denying that. But when you talk about people I'm trying to hate, right? There's nothing about Christian that, to me, looks redeemable. Right, I'm like, no, bro. I'm your father, bro. Talk about my dad. I beat your ass. You know what I'm talking about? Like, so, like, when that's your MO, you've got to be the more hated guy.
I'm gonna go MGF though, just because he does it so flawlessly, so fluidly, and also all the time. I mean, so much so where you get heat because he'd always kept his character going everywhere, and then it became like a prerequisite where people don't want to meet MJF. They want to meet MJF. Like, if MJF isn't a dick to them, they're like, oh, what? So, I mean, that's kind of hard to keep up 24/7, but I mean, he does it pretty naturally. So, I'm going to go him.
Christian Cage.
Okay.
Hey, that man talked about people dead daddies. Hey, that man said, I'm your dad now.
Hey, let me tell you something. I'll be real, man. Niggas people be in their bag.
Hey.
Yo, yeah, Max is good.
Hey.
Max is good, but it'd be like, it just be easy sometimes.
Yeah,
just we've seen it. But I'm going to be, I don't, yeah, y'all, yeah, y'all say that. But yeah, it'd be.
Christian is more cerebral. Hey,
my man.
Yeah,
my man.
Like when he gets in there.
So look you in your eye and ask you if you have a father.
Hey, you have a father?
You know what that's
called? I'm your daddy.
Yeah.
I got you.
That's MJF. He cool. You know, he like a dude, like somebody that ruffle your feathers at work. You just annoy you, but it's not enough to beat you up.
Man,
you know what I'm saying? He just piss you off every day. Like, I'm going to hit this dude mouth today. He always says some knick-knack stupid stuff.
Yeah,
but
man.
Christian, you know.
One of these days, that's
No, you're not one of these days, yo. Come on, son.
Hey, come on, son, right now, dog. Hey, come here, bro.
You know what I'm saying?
See me.
Yeah, bro. Like, you take your stuff off. You give it to your manager because you know it's over.
Just step on my pulse.
You know what I'm saying? Let me turn this in, man. Yeah. Hey, this is it. After this, this is it.
Here's my radio, my badge. MJF, I beat him twice. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, really.
You know what else is crazy? MJF is like the dude that you work with. Like, he your contemporary, whereas, like, Christian Cage, your manager. So, you know what's coming on. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you really want
to pop up my time to lose my job fucking with you? But you, I'll be sure. You know what I'm saying? That's how it is.
I'm going to say it's MJF. Because Christian Cage is cool. He's a cool dude. He always has a nice stoic presentation.
Okay.
And you get wrapped up in his aura. Whereas MJF is just corny.
Just douche. Just corny.
Yeah. Just lame. He talks. Christian Cage talks and he does some really evil shit. And you're like, man, I hate that guy. He makes me so angry. And MJF talks and you're like, just stop.
Harley? Harley? It's me. I love you. It's me, Holly. Yes, good to see you again. Yes, how can I assist?
Just saw you walking along with your belt on your shoulder, and we thought we wanted to get some organic footage.
Yes.
Just being a champion in your natural environment.
Just walking around, showing it off, you know. Dr. Pepper, baby, it's good and nice. Have you heard that?
Oh, you're trying to get that 2 million?
Yeah, that jingle that went viral. We just need, I have another jingle I made up now. Arby's, get the meat inside you. Right? Right? I'm going to shoot my shot anywhere I can. You know? Well, the other one kicked off. We didn't think of all the things we could have.
Meat inside.
Arby's, get the meat inside you. Cock it. It's going to get picked up. $1 million. You like that? You want to touch that? I give consent for you to touch my belt, gentlemen. Go. You may rub it like a lantern.
Wow.
Good luck.
Just the tip?
Just the tip.
Oh, man.
I went all hands.
It hurt a lot more than I expected.
Get out
of here. Arby's, get the meat inside you.
Between Toni Storm and Mercedes Money, who has the stronger total package?
Oh, Mercedes, obviously. God, of course she is. Who am I?
What about your station?
What about my station? Fuck my station.
It's tough because they're two completely different people. I will say, though, it took me 3 times to beat Mercedes, and I pinned Toni the first time I wrestled her.
Oh.
So, that's just a fact.
Just saying.
But I will say, Toni is one of the most entertaining people I've ever interacted with, in and out of the ring. So,
no question. We love her.
Yes, I love them both so much, but Mercedes did destroy me twice, so...
Right. Between Trish Stratus and Lita, who is the bigger women's legend?
Another tough one. But remember, there's no right or wrong answers. It's just your opinion. But you're on the hot seat.
Okay. Totally transparent. I did not watch wrestling growing up. So okay. I did not really experience like the legends in the making, like their tenure. But... this is just going to be a little bit of bias because Lita told me that she wanted to wrestle me one time and I've never met Trish. So I'm going to say Lita.
That's a great reason.
That's what it is.
That's a great reason.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I would absolutely love to see you wrestle.
Me too.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. This is really hard.
Hot takes.
What's the intention? It's like, I'm going to ask Toni the toughest questions of all time.
Well, we've been doing this all night, testing everyone, putting everyone on a hot spot. That's why these are hot tips.
Equally as legendary.
See, you're not playing along, Toni.
I'm sure they both have a DVD 3-disc set, so... what's... how can you even compare one to the other?
But how can anyone compare to your talents?
Exactly! That's the real question.
So what do you mean? None of it matters!
Now, none of this matters!
Neither does your station.
Neither does my, especially my station.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tom. Always a pleasure to
have you. Yes, it's lovely catching up, us girls. Let's do this again. Anytime you want to pull me aside and ask me tough questions, I'm here.
And we'll be there. And remember, wherever you go, there you are.
It's nice to see you, Knives.
It's nice to be soon.
Ah!
I just lay back in something new. Whiskey 21 and over low ball. Make it too neat. Dizzle from Harlem. Yeah, I'm from Houston off of Fondra. Mike Mazan and real world flow. Plant these seeds in the streets and in weeks. Watch it blossom. Dark night, riding on chrome, swinging through Gotham. It's me and Pete repaving these roads.
This episode is sponsored by Garden. Groceries are getting more expensive and somehow less fresh. If you're tired of throwing away wilted greens and overpaying for produce that doesn't last, it's time to grow your own. Meet Garden. It's a sleek, soil-free indoor growing system that does the hard work for you. Using automated light and water, Garden grows fresh, clean food in your living room or kitchen all year long. No dirt, no daily chores, no green thumb required. Stop planning your life around grocery runs. Just harvest what you need when you need it. Visit mygarden.com. That's mygardyn.com. Garden. Harvest happiness.